As I look out on my audience this morning, I notice that every one of you are dressed. No one showed up who failed to put clothing on. And as you got up this morning to get dressed, you had to decide what to put on. I noticed that none of you showed up dressed in a swimsuit. I noticed that none of you showed up in a football uniform or a cheerleader's outfit. I noticed that none of you showed up wearing corked boots and a hard hat or an apron and a hairnet. I notice that none of you showed up in a wedding dress or a tuxedo with a bow tie. Why did none of you decide to put on any of the outfits that I mentioned? Well, you say, because they would not be appropriate to wear to church. And you would be right. The outfits that I described would be appropriate to wear to certain places. A swimsuit would be appropriate to wear to the beach. And a football uniform and a cheerleader's outfit would be appropriate to wear to a sporting event. Corked boots and a hard hat or an apron and a hairnet would be appropriate to wear to a place of work. A wedding dress, a tuxedo, a bow tie, that would be appropriate to wear to a wedding. But none of those things would be appropriate to wear to church. You all recognize that you have to wear appropriate clothing for the event you're attending. When you get up in the morning and you're going to get dressed, the first question you ask yourself is not, what shall I wear? The first question you ask yourself is, where am I going and what am I doing today? And once you answer that question, what you ought to wear becomes patently obvious. You dress for the place you are going to, and you dress for the activity that you're going to be engaging in. Now I want to talk to you this morning about a place where you will be going and an activity that you will be engaging in the future. And I want to talk to you about how you're going to dress for that event and that activity. Now, I assert that all of you, without exception, will be going to this place. And all of you, without exception, will be engaging in this activity that I am about to describe. The place all of you will be going to, and the activity all of you will be engaging in, is standing before the throne of God and participating in the day of judgment. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Where you are going is that you will be attending the final judgment, and you will be doing so in the presence of God. All of you will be there. The angels will make certain of that. The Bible tells us in Matthew 13, verses 41 to 43, that at the end of the world, the angels will go out and they will gather the wheat and they will gather the tares, and they will bring them all to appear before God on the day of judgment. The Bible tells us in Matthew 25 that all nations and all peoples without exception will be gathered before the judge. And the question I want to ask you this morning is simply this. How are you going to dress for that event? Now suppose you got up this morning and you knew that you were going to attend the final judgment today. What would you put on? In what dress would you want to appear before God for His determination of whether you're going to spend eternity in heaven or whether you're going to spend eternity in hell? Now let me suggest to you that this is one occasion for which you want to dress for success. Your clothing will matter. In fact, your clothing will be the determining factor as to whether you spend eternity in heaven or whether you spend eternity in hell. That's right. What you wear to the day of judgment will determine your eternal destiny. So, you'd better choose your wardrobe very carefully. Because you only have one chance to get it right. There will only be one interview. And what is interesting is that there are only two possible outfits that folks can choose to wear to the day of judgment. I suppose that in your closets, you have 15 or 20 different outfits that you can wear for different occasions. But that will not be the case when you dress for the day of judgment. In your closet, a preparation for the day of judgment, you only have two outfits to choose from. I advise you to choose carefully. I want to look at these two outfits today that you can wear to the day of judgment. And I want to examine them for their suitability for the occasion. And I especially want you to notice that this whole subject is really about the competence of the two tailors who fashion these two outfits. An incompetent tailor will not make a proper set of clothing that is suitable for the day of judgment. His method and his materials will produce an outfit you will be ashamed to appear in before God. But oh, if you have a competent tailor, he will use a perfect method and he will use perfect materials to produce a perfect set of clothes for the day of judgment. A set of clothes that will give you confidence and joy as you appear before God. Well, what we want to do then this morning is we want to examine these two tailors. And we want to examine these two sets of clothes that they produce. And we want to choose carefully between them, so that we may be properly dressed on the day of judgment. And so in the first place then this morning, let us consider together the filthy garment we may wear to the day of judgment, which is fashioned by ourselves. The filthy garment we may wear to the day of judgment that is fashioned by ourselves. Now turn please in your Bible to the book of Isaiah chapter 64. The book of Isaiah chapter 64. And notice, if you will, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. It says in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Now, Isaiah 64 in verse 6 describes a person who is content to appear before God on the day of judgment in a garment that is composed of his own righteous deeds. He is his own tailor, and he is weaving his own garment, and he is weaving it out of material that he has made himself. Notice his method. His method is to rely on his own wisdom and his own judgment about what would be suitable to appear before God in. He fancies himself an excellent judge of what kind of an outfit would be pleasing to God. He relies on his own imagination as to what God is like. He relies on his own imaginations as to what might be appealing to God. And he relies on his own imagination to decide what God would approve of. He has consulted carefully his own code of ethics and his own standards of morality. He has taken a poll of what all of his friends think would be acceptable to God, and what the common cultural consensus is about what will pass muster on the day of judgment. And he has thoroughly convinced himself that he is up to the task of making a garment suitable to appear before God in. And so that is his method. He relies on human wisdom to decide what to wear and how to fashion it. And then notice not only his method, but notice his materials. His materials consist of his own righteousness and his own good works. He is sure that if he weaves together a garment consisting of the record of all of the positive things he has done, that this will provide him with a garment suitable for acceptance with God and entrance into heaven. He's determined to appear before God in the splendid garment of his own supposed good works and his own personal acts of righteousness. And he is sure that on that basis, he will be accepted by God. And so he congratulates himself that he is good enough to appear before God, clothed in his own righteousness and his own good deeds, especially as he compares his life with the life of many of those around him. But the way he views his method and the way he views his materials is not how God views them. God's judgment, our text says, is that we are all as an unclean thing, and that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now, the word here in the Hebrew that is translated filthy rags is a word that refers to used menstrual cloths. Because we are unclean, because we are fallen and sinful people, what do we produce? We produce unclean works. A polluted fountain can never produce a pure stream. And Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. And therefore Romans 3:12 says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Because we are not righteous, we cannot do good. Now imagine appearing before the judge of the whole universe dressed in a garment made of used minstrel cloths stitched together. We may feel like sharp dressers, but he is filled with revulsion and disgust as he looks at the filthy rags in which we have clothed ourselves to appear before him in the garment of our own filthy works. All of our deeds are defiled by our depravity, and therefore none of them can commend us to God or draw out his approval. Instead, every one of our deeds in which we clothe ourselves to appear before God is one more reason for God to reject us. Because even our best works that we put the highest level of esteem on are defiled and polluted with sin and saturated with the effects of our human depravity. If you attempt to weave together a garment out of your own supposed good works, all you will dress yourself in is a filthy garment. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16 says, we know that a man is not justified by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. If you show up in a garment made of your supposed conformity to the law of God, God will not say to you, you are just. He will look at all of your works, saturated with the taint of sin. And he will say, all I see are works of iniquity, and all I see is a worker of iniquity. Depart from me. I never knew you. And so it says in Galatians 3 and verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And so Jesus forewarns us of this. When in Matthew 7:22 and 23, he says, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done what? Many wonderful works. You see, they pled their self-righteousness, they pled their good works as the grounds of their acceptance with God. And Jesus says to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. All your good works were works of iniquity. All of your prophesying in my name, all of your casting out demons in my name, all works of iniquity, because all of them proceeded out of your flesh and flowed from your depravity. You as an unclean person only produced unclean works. Depart from me. Judas Iscariot will be able to plead on the day of judgment that he prophesied in Christ's name. And then in Christ's name he cast out demons. And in Christ's name he did many wonderful works. But oh, if those things comprise his righteousness, by which he hopes to find acceptance before God, God will look at him and say, unclean. So then, this filthy garment of our own righteous good deeds fashioned by ourselves will not do to wear on the day of judgment. It will never and can never gain us the approval of God. And so we must seek another tailor other than ourselves. And we must seek another material other than our own self-righteousness. Thankfully, there is another tailor, and thankfully there is another material with which we may be clothed on the day of judgment. And so, having seen the filthy garment fashioned by ourselves in the second place this morning, let us consider together the saving garment fashioned by Christ. The saving garment fashioned by Christ. Turn, please, in your Bible back a couple of chapters to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61, and I want you to notice with me verse 10. Isaiah 61 in verse 10. Isaiah says in chapter 61 and in verse 10 these words, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with his ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Now here is another person. Here is a person who is content to appear before God in a garment composed of a robe of righteousness, a garment of salvation that has been made by God himself. God is this man's tailor. God is weaving a garment of salvation which is composed of a righteousness that God himself supplies. Notice, if you will, God's method. God's method is to consult his own holiness. It is to consult his own moral law. And is to determine from it what standard of dress would be required to stand in his presence and obtain his approval. God's method in determining what kind of clothing will be acceptable before him is determined by God himself. God consults no one but himself as to what is acceptable to himself. He does not seek the advice of angels. He does not seek the advice of men, and he does not seek the advice of the common cultural consensus. God alone determines how he will save his people and how he will make them worthy to be in his heaven and to be in his presence and to pass his muster on the day of judgment. God says in Isaiah 43 and in verse 11, I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. In Isaiah 43 and verse 25, God says, I, Even I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. And when God uses this phrase, I, even I, he's saying that he alone, in conjunction with no one else, is going to fashion the garment of salvation and the robe of righteousness for his people. God will fashion the garment of salvation himself with no help from us or anyone else. He is both the designer of the garment and he is also the tailor who weaves it all together. But notice not only God's method, notice also God's materials. His materials consists of a righteousness that he himself supplies. He clothes us with the garments of salvation that he has made. He covers us with a robe of righteousness that he has fashioned. And so he comes up with the salvation and he comes up with the righteousness that he then tailors for us to be able to wear. Now this righteousness that he covers us with is the righteousness that Christ obtained by his good works. It is the righteousness that Christ obtained by his perfect obedience to God's law while he lived among us on the earth. Christ's sinless life, a life in which he never sinned in thought, word, or deed. And Christ's perfect obedience, in which he carried out with perfect motives and perfect conduct all that God's law required. This sinless life and this perfect obedience earned a perfect righteousness as a result of Christ's perfect conformity to God's law, both in what it prohibited and in what it required. Jesus lived in perfect conformity to God's law with reference to all of its prohibitions and with reference to all of its requirements. And in so doing, he obtained a perfect righteousness. And it is this righteousness of Christ that God dresses us in to stand before him on the day of judgment. God appoints our clothing. God produces our clothing. And God bestows the clothing that we are to wear on the day of judgment. And it is when God sees us in that which he himself designed, and that which he himself approves, and that which he himself provides, and that which he himself bestows, that then he will be pleased with us. And he will welcome us into his kingdom because we are properly dressed. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 3. Paul understood very clearly these two types of clothing that he may appear before God in on the day of judgment. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to begin reading together at verse 4. And in these next couple of verses, Paul talks about the robes of his own righteousness that he could have appeared before God in on the day of judgment. Notice verse 4. though I might also have confidence in the flesh, that is, in the good works that my own flesh produced. If any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, in the garments of his own production, I more. And now he begins to list his righteousnesses. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That's a pretty good garment. Or is it? Notice the next verse. Paul says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, that is, the things that were in the list, and do count them, notice, but dung. That's the New Testament minstrel cloth. Isaiah spoke of showing up in a garment woven of used minstrel cloth. Paul talks about showing up in a garment woven of defiled, dirty diapers. Now, that's graphic and perhaps a little bit offensive. That's how offensive your sins are to God. And that's why you dare not appear as a sinner before God. And you dare not bring your sinful good works to God and offer them to Him as the grounds of your acceptance with Him. Would you be repulsed if somebody showed up in minstrel cloth and dirty baby diapers? Well, how much more is it offensive to God when we show up in our defiled rebellions against Him and say, on these grounds, fellowship with me and bring me into your heaven. Notice verse 9. Paul says in the latter part of verse 8 that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Now here it is, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And you see, Paul recognized there's two righteousnesses he can show up in. There's two garments he can be dressed in on the day of judgment. And one is the dung of his own good works. And the other is the garment of righteousness that God Himself provides. And he says, oh, in that day, I don't want anything to do with my own righteousness. All my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Oh, I want to show up in the righteousness that God provides, in the garment of His salvation. And how shall I have that? He says, by faith. By repenting of your sins and by believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior. He will take off those filthy rags and He will clothe you in a robe of real righteousness, a garment of salvation, so that when you appear at the marriage supper of the Lamb, you are welcome to the feast because you have on a wedding garment. You You see this desire to show up before God and be accepted by God on the ground of our own merit was the grave error of the Jews. And it has been the grave error of all peoples down to this very age. Turn, please, in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. The book of Romans, the 10th chapter. In Romans chapter 10, and in verse 1, Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Now what's being said very clearly here is what? Israel is not saved. They need to get saved. What's their problem? Verse 2 tells us. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge." That is, their zeal to be accepted by God is very great, but it's badly misdirected because it's guided not by the knowledge of what is acceptable to God, but by the ignorance of their own folly in deciding for themselves what would be acceptable to God. Verse 3. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Here God says, "I have a perfect garment of salvation, a robe of righteousness in which to clothe you in." And their reply is, "No, I have my own robe of righteousness, my own garment of salvation, and I am going to appear before you in that." My righteousness consists of my obedience to the law. And God says, "Oh, but the righteousness I supply you is fashioned out of the obedience of my Son to that law." "No, Father, my obedience to the law is good enough." The Father says, "Oh, it must be without spot, or without wrinkle, or without blemish. Oh, I'll cover those up by compensating and doing more by way of self-denial and self-sacrifice and self-discipline. And that will compensate for and cover those blemishes." But God says, "No, it is all blemished. You are all as an unclean thing, and all of your righteousnesses are defiled and saturated with sin." Verse 4, "Christ is the end of the law as a means of obtaining righteousness." For who? "For everyone that believes." And there it is again. It is by believing in Christ, it is by faith in Christ, that you are able to be disrobed from your filthy garments and you are able to put on, or rather have put on you, the robes of Christ's righteousness. Now for a final passage, turn please to Revelation chapter 7. The book of Revelation, the 7th chapter. In Revelation chapter 7, we want to start reading together at verse 9. And here we have John's visit to heaven and his vision and report of heaven. And in this vision of those in heaven, John takes special note of what they are wearing. And notice what he says in Revelation 7 and verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, now notice, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Beloved, there's a dress code in heaven. And the dress code is white robes. Everybody has them, and no one who doesn't have them is there. Verse 11. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? Verse 14, and I said unto him, sir, you know the answer to that question. And he says, I do. Here's the answer. These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God. Therefore, they serve Him day and night in His temple. Therefore, He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe all tears from their eyes. Now, do you want to experience that? If you do, you've got to be dressed for it. You have to wear that robe of righteousness that obtained through the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away all of your sins, so that you are without spot or wrinkle or any blemish whatsoever on your record. Because your record is composed entirely of His righteousness. And there is nothing on it other than that. They didn't wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb plus all the good things they did. They washed it in the blood of Christ alone. And so the question I have to ask every one of you this morning is this. On the day of judgment, will you have a robe of righteousness or a robe of wrath? Will you have a garment of salvation or will you have a garment of damnation? Will you be dressed in filthy rags or will you be dressed in royal robes provided by the King Himself? You may choose today how you will be dressed from this point forward. You may today look at the filthy garments of your own self-righteousness and tear them off of your body and cast them away and cry out to God and say, O God, dress thou me in the righteousness of thy Son. Give to me the garment of salvation. I do repent of my sins that produced all my defilement. I do trust in Christ who can wash me in His blood. I do cry out to you and rest in you and trust in you for giving me that which will give me joy and confidence on the day of judgment and not shame. In Romans chapter 10 and in verse 11 it says, whoever believes in him shall not be ashamed. Now, have you ever showed up someplace and you realized you're not dressed appropriately for that, and you're ashamed of how you dressed, and you try to get away? When you show up on the day of judgment, you don't want to be ashamed of the clothing in which you appear. And the point is that if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior from your sins, you will not be ashamed when you show up for failing to have on the proper clothing that will grant you entrance into heaven in the presence of God. There is nothing that enters there that defiles or that is defiled. Only the pure, only the perfect enter into heaven. You may have purity. You may have perfection. You may have it from Christ. Cry out to Him to give it to you and to cleanse you from all of your unrighteousnesses and to present you faultless before His throne with exceeding joy. If you do that on the day of judgment, you will not be ashamed. Rather, you will appear with joy. You will enter into His gates with singing. You will be filled with a confidence that you can appear before God and not hang your head. God will lift up your head and He will say to you, welcome, my good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Well, may we be properly dressed for the day of judgment. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you have provided us with a robe of righteousness, a garment of salvation that we could never weave together in a million lifetimes. Father, help us to abandon any confidence or any trust in any goodness that we have, any works we have done, any service we've provided. And Father, may we trust in Jesus Christ alone, His saving work, His shed blood, His substitutionary life and death. And may through them we find ourselves presented faultless before your throne with exceeding joy on that great day. May each of us self-consciously cast off the filthy rags and put on Christ. For in Him and through Him and unto Him we shall find our entrance into heaven, our acceptance with you, and our eternal joy. Thank you for Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.